When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is Thursday, if you are hearing this, the day it comes out, which means it is time for our weekly listener mail segment. We get into some very strange conversations, as you might imagine, fellow conspiracy realists, and this is our ongoing opportunity to bring some of those conversations to you. We're going to hear about a man allegedly from more than 1,000 years in the future. We're going to hear some firsthand accounts about lucid dreaming techniques. It's always it's a subject of returning fascination on this show. And then we're also going to hear about something that I thought was a very interesting, I won't say neat, but very interesting tie-in to our earlier strange news last week about the harrowing Sophie's Choice situation various communities out west have found themselves in with dropping water and the need for electricity, dropping water levels, I should say. So what do you say, guys? Should we start with some true crime, go to the edges of dream, and then end in the future?
That sounds like a good trajectory for our listener mail journey.
Agreed. Then away we go. First, big thanks to Byron, as well as Jasmine. Byron sent us an email. Jasmine, you reached out. You reached out over social media, artist friend of the show out in Vegas. And thank you to several anonymous people who asked not to be on air, but wanted to communicate this story with our fellow listeners. So Byron's email, just to set this up, is short and sweet, and it's going to take us on a bit of a strange news conversation. Byron says simply, "Hi guys, have you been following the story about the bodies that are turning up at Lake Mead as the water level continues to drop? This might make a good addition to your strange news segment." Byron, you are absolutely right. sir, and you are so right that we're not waiting until next week to do this. We are going to explore it now for just a bit. And as we begin, I want to shout out Brian, in particular, you have been a longtime correspondent of the show. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. As we say, we do read every single email we get. And I don't know if we'll put it on the air this time, but Byron, I was immensely fascinated by your story of dating the ultrasound specialist who was training with cadaverous body parts. The course of true love never did run smooth, as they say. but here we go. So there's a story that started breaking about 8 days or so as we record today on Tuesday, May 10th. And this story concerns Lake Mead. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Lake Mead. It's this reservoir formed by the Hoover Dam on the Colorado River, like we discussed in our strange news story. It's about 24 miles east of Vegas as the crows fly. It's huge. It's the biggest reservoir in the U.S. in terms of how much water it can hold. And as the water levels continued dropping, things started coming to the surface. Years ago on Car Stuff, friend of the show, Scott Benjamin, and I, who are always sneaking in true crime stories on our car show, we looked at the distressing number of vehicles, sometimes with bodies in them, that have been driven to and parked beneath lakes and mighty rivers all across the United States. There are a lot, so many that no one's sure exactly how prevalent it is for people to get an at-lake burial. And that's something Lake Mead is confronting now. So,
well, what about bodies in barrels?
Yes. Yeah. You know, why ruin a perfectly good car? So it was around May 2nd. A barrel was found in Lake Mead, revealed by the receding water. And this barrel had been underwater, quite a long time. Possibly as much as 4 decades. So it's been there since the 80s. This wasn't just an empty barrel. This contained a body. And police who were investigating this suspect the person was murdered. They were a homicide victim. And they're guessing that based on other personal items they found in the barrel. At that point, they hadn't really talked about what those items may have been, but it was a steel barrel. It was near the Hemingway fishing pier. And they know that the victim probably died due to a gunshot wound. Based on what they could tell from the clothing, they said he was killed in maybe the early 80s, but maybe as far long ago as the 1970s. And then they found a second body, this one perhaps without foul play. At least that was the statement. I'm getting a lot of this, by the way, from some great reporting over on ABC News. Shout out to Bill Hutchison. Also, some fantastic commentary from the Vegas local subreddit, or also just the Vegas at large subreddit. And it's tough because right now we know that in at least one case, it appears someone murdered someone else and got away with it. That first body again discovered on May 1st. I don't know. One of the first questions that I had, which I found the answer for and could be reassuring, is how does this affect water supply, right? Dead bodies are dirty. Could it pose a threat to the 40 million so people who rely on water from the Colorado River and Lake Powell and Lake Mead? The answer is probably not, luckily.
Yeah. So there's that. That stuff gets treated. They don't just siphon the water directly out of the reservoir. And they're like, drink this.
Does this smell dead to you? Yeah, Bobby, no. It's your week to test the water.
Let's just boil it just to be safe, you know? It's just, why risk it?
It is weird to think that it's been down there for that long, right? these bodies have been under the water for so long.
Yeah, I started trying to find a little bit more information about this. At this point, as we're recording, I'm mainly seeing rumors, a lot of them hinging on Vegas's earlier grimy days as a hotbed of organized crime, which, you know, just to be clear, in comparison to a lot of other cities, Vegas still has a ton of organized crime. You know, people are getting away with it.
I thought it was mainly the desert, though, where they like buried people. You know, you take them out in the desert, get them on their knees, shoot them execution style. If they make them dig their own shallow grave, is that what? Come on, where's our respect for the past?
Let me quote in response. First, before I say this, it is a tragedy. People are dead. Someone got away. But let me quote in response a statement by former Las Vegas Mayor Oscar Goodman. The day after the discovery, he said, "There's no telling what we'll find in Lake Mead. It's not a bad place to dump a body." Goodman, by the way, was a defense attorney known for representing mafia figures, including people like Anthony the Ant Spilotro, before he got elected as a mayor who is known for love of martinis. He served 3 terms in Vegas.
Man, I'd love to see Tony the Ant face off against Sammy the Bull. You know, like, it seems like a really diminutive mafia nickname. You know, was he just very tiny? What was this? How do you get a nickname like that? Did he have multiple limbs?
Maybe he had mandibles.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that guy knows how many bodies. He knows a lot of the bodies that are down there and the boats and all the other stuff. Oh, that guy knows.
The former mayor Goodman again said he followed up. He was ready to talk about this. He said, "You know, I can't speculate how many bodies might turn up in Lake Mead." That's what he just said. "I'm not going to speculate." And then he said, "I'm relatively sure it was not Jimmy Hoffa." And and then he also noted that a lot of his former clients, I wasn't expecting this, a lot of his former clients from his mob attorney days were very interested in climate control. Not a euphemism, like fighting climate change. They were conservationists because they wanted to keep the level of the lake up and the bodies underwater.
I thought climate control was just like, you know, central heating and air.
Well, not for the mob, I guess. Wow. But that's, you can do the right things for the wrong reasons, right?
It's fair. Yeah, you can. And I wonder how many mini golf balls are at the bottom of Lake Mead. They're just regular golf balls from driving ranges, you know, throughout the area. A lot of golf in Vegas.
Really think about that, guys. I mean, you're right, but I'm sure there are a ton, Noel. But like, the reason why we found these bodies is because the lake is receding from the sides, right, as it's going down to the deepest parts of the lake. Right. If you know that you're dumping a body into a very deep reservoir slash lake, you're going to try to dump it near the center, right, the deepest part.
Right, man, unless
imagine
you're just lazy.
What else is down there if it ever goes fully dry. Like,
I know. Hey, I joined a Sierra Club, you know. I care about but the birds and the trees and the lake, of course.
All these turbines, they're killing the birds. Wind power is bad news. It reminds me, there's an episode of Sopranos where I forget who it is. I think it's Paulie and Christopher. They have to go dig up a body that they buried because there's going to be a development built, and they know it's going to get discovered, and then they're going to, like, do, you know, teeth and bone matching or whatever, and then they'll know. I forget why they knew they would get found out, but they literally had to go dig up the body. And the funny thing in the scene is they dig up the body and the dude's fingernails have grown, and that's like, I don't know if this is true or not, but it was like, yeah, they keep growing after you're dead.
your skin recedes. A cadaver's body.
That must be it. That must be it. It kind of atrophies. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, you know, Paulie and Christopher aren't really known for being the brightest crayons in the box. And I obviously fell for the ruse as well. So thanks for clearing that up, Ben.
Well, it's a weird fact to know. I would be careful how you deploy that one when you're, you know, on a first date or something. Maybe save that. Save that for the third date. But
save that for the wedding night.
For the wedding night. Did I tell you about those fingernails? Honey, you're not going to believe this.
Vegas honeymoon. Yeah.
On your Vegas honeymoon. So let's get some context here. since 1983, Lake Mead alone has dropped more than 170 feet, 52 meters for everybody outside of the U.S. And 40 million people rely on this across seven states in the Southwest. That source of water is down to about 30% of what it should be. It's got a third of the gas tank it's supposed to have. And this prompts people like Michael Green, who is a history professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, to say, if the lake goes down much further, it's very possible we're going to have some very interesting things surface. That is not what Dr. Green sounds like. I'm just doing mob voices. The people we're mentioning are all very smart. They're very good at their jobs. It's just, you know, we're Sopranos fans. We're Godfather fans. It's fun to do a voice. It's kind of like from what our friends in Vegas have told me directly, and again, thanks for reaching out, and from what I'm seeing in the news and from locals in the area, it appears that everybody is almost certain there are going to be more bodies found. Right now, there are just two, but as the lake continues to drain and as that water level continues to go lower and lower, there probably will be more things found. And, you know, there's a concern that people have, rightly or wrongly, historically, about whether or not the PD in Las Vegas and surrounding areas, whether or not they're corrupt. It may interest you to know that second body, one that is not considered to be a death as a result of foul play, is not being investigated at this time. That's weird. They found a body. It's not investigating unless the coroner says that something looks off.
Whoa. That's the one they found in the sandbar? That was like, they saw just the jawbone and stuff?
Okay. Yeah, they thought it was an animal jawbone at first. And there are some people who are posting rewards for divers to go try to find more barrels, possibly containing bodies in the lake. And the National Park Service said these divers are not allowed to go snooping around in the lake, which would cause the more conspiratorially minded to say, hey, these guys are in on it. Maybe. And then we know that people like David Kohlmeyer, who's a former police officer and now a podcaster and host of a TV show called The Problem Solver Show, Kohlmeyer said that he's heard from families of missing people and various cases of disappearances that might indicate there are more bodies to be found there. He also said it's probably bigger than mob hits. This could just be a matter of bringing closure to grieving families, which I think we can all support. But we're gonna pause here. In the meantime, if you are in the Vegas area, let us know how the locals are receiving this. Let us know what you think is under the water. And just reach out if you want to hear that Car Stuff episode about how many cars with bodies are found in lakes and rivers on a regular basis. Can't emphasize that enough. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com, 1-833-STD-WYTK. We'll take a break for a sponsor. We'll be right back.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. and all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with more messages from you, the public, the conspiracy realists among you. And we got a real good one from Uhura, which is funny because, Ben, didn't Uhura come up recently with super producer Max Williams of Ridiculous History fame? I think we were talking about, like, you know, he's interested in like three things, and one of them is like trains, one of them is curling, the other one is Star Trek. And I mentioned Uhura, and I actually was really proud of myself because I spelled her name correctly. Uhura is obviously a very important character in the original Star Trek series, because there is a very early television interracial kiss that takes place between William Shatner and the actor who plays Uhura, whose name is escaping me, but that is neither here nor there. That is simply our listener's nickname, code name, Uhura. Uhura writes to us about lucid dreaming and THC, two things that I'm very interested in. I hope all is well with everyone. I'm writing in reference to a recent episode where cannabis use and its effects on dreams was mentioned. I'm 30 now and began dabbling in recreational marijuana use when I was 18. It started out slowly and quickly became a habit. Around 25, an interest in lucid dreaming was sparked, and I began to do exercises to achieve lucidity. I met my goal a handful of times, which ranged from changing the colors of the carpet in the room I was in to looking into a mirror and altering my appearance until satisfaction. All of this while maintaining my now daily habit. Every now and again, my edge will straighten and I'll feel the urge to refrain from alcohol and THC for a certain period. And without fail, within about two nights of sobriety, my dreams take on a hyper-realistic and malleable form. Otherwise, I feel my dreams are the hazy, daisy, and scattered norm. Long story short, yes, Mary Jane most definitely has an effect on dreams and how vivid they may be. I know lucid dreaming was a sidestep you had mentioned, and Noel had said he was interested in the idea of lucid dreaming. A couple of the ways to encourage this is the following. One, check the clock often in your awake hours. Look away and back again up to three times. This will get you into the habit of checking the time and will eventually seep into your subconscious mind. If you are dreaming, the time will change drastically between glances, or may say an impossible sequence of numbers, 1:01:15 a.m., for example. During your awake hours, attempt to push your pointer finger through the opposite hand's palm. Obviously, you couldn't if you're awake, but if you are dreaming, you will be able to. It's kind of like the spinning top in Inception, guys. It's the idea of like a test of some kind to determine whether you're incepted or not, or in this case, just dreaming. Three, fall asleep to a mantra about gaining lucidity while dreaming. I've heard this one before. Tonight, while dreaming, I will realize I am dreaming and gain control of my dream experience. That sounds awesome. These examples have worked for me personally. While checking back on a clock in a dream, the hands of the clock began to spin frantically, alerting me to my dream state. Another time I was having what I would call a nightmare, in which my apartment was being fired upon and overtaken. I didn't want it to be real, so I tried to push my finger through my palm, and lo and behold, my palm stretched like putty protruding from the pressure of my finger, allowing me to stop the bullets heading for me midair and escape easily to safety. crying laughing emoji. I do apologize for my rambling. Please don't. This is wonderful, wonderful stuff. I've been meaning to reach out. I listen to y'all almost every day as I am able to listen while I work. I thoroughly enjoy your thoughtful and interesting, very individual perspectives. I often look forward to sharing topics you have covered with my partner and friends. Live long and prosper. Spock finger emoji. Uhura out. Planetary emojis. These are so cool. I think we've all heard a couple of these, but like the clock one is so neat. The idea of kind of checking yourself to see how much time has passed. Like the closest analog to that that I can think of, I haven't done the clock thing, but like I'm really bad at sleeping on planes and I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I can usually tell when I've fallen asleep by like waking up during a movie that's playing and then realizing that I've like half remembered some of the plot. Cause I have this habit where if I fall asleep during a movie, I will still sort of know what's going on. I never fully fall asleep and I'm sort of like experiencing it in the background, sort of like white noise. And then I'll wake up and I'll sort of have a sense of what's going on, but I'll realize some time has passed and I've missed some little, you know, in between details, like some things that kind of connected a few things, but I understand generally what's happening in the movie. I don't ever feel completely lost or that I've missed some, you know, big moment. I don't know, guys, did any of these in particular resonate with you? I know that the THC element was, yeah, for sure.
I did a lot of research into lucid dreaming in the past, but I will share one funny story. Again, not to center myself too much, but one thing that I thought would give everybody a chuckle. I thought I was lucid dreaming a couple of times in real life. One time in particular, not going to disclose the circumstances that led to my befuddlement here, fellow conspiracy realist, but I stared at the clock on my oven for about 8 very confused minutes, one early afternoon, before I realized that 475 is a temperature, not a time. And nice. that I was indeed awake. You can blur the lines, you know. Polyphasic sleeping can help with lucid dreaming too, but your mileage may vary.
That 101:15 a.m. reference, that really hit for you. Like you basically experienced that exact thing. There's no 427 o'clock. That's awesome.
Well, I had forgotten that an earlier version of me a few minutes ago had decided to cook something, which was a bad idea given my mental circumstances at the time. That's the best way put it diplomatically. Aerionauts, dream astronauts. I love it. I do this stuff all the time.
I've really bruised up the center of my palm since we started this segment. I've been trying to get my finger through there, but it's just not working.
No, the test is working. The test is working. try it again tonight. Sure? I love that one. Yeah, again, there's probably I think that must be a personal version of like any kind of check you can do. Like I was saying in the Inception with the spinning top, but you can't really spin a top if you're in bed, and that requires a little too much awareness to lean over and pick up an object. And this is something you can do just right there without having to move too much. That's really cool. I really want to try some of these. I don't know that I'm personally disciplined enough to train myself to do this, but I'm going to damn well try. Because I really do want to be, it would be such a cool superpower to be able to control this stuff. And I think, you know, what do you guys think? Is the jury still out on the science of this? Like, are there experts that can just do this and we know they can? Or is there some like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, maybe you can or maybe you can't.
There is a way, so you can tell a little bit, right? We can use data from people's brain waves to figure out what's part of the sleep cycle they're in. And we know that there seems to be, I have to look back into this a little bit more, but we know that there are key changes in the brain that are responsible for certain states that are indicative of dreaming, not just looking at someone's eyes move rapidly. But one thing that may help you, Noel, as well as anybody who wants to try a crash course in this is first, you're going to want to limit your intake of intoxicants. And that doesn't just mean like alcohol or marijuana or whatever your vice is. That also means stuff like stimulants, like caffeine. Limit it, dial it back as you can. And then I would recommend trying the wake back to bed method. I used to do this a lot. You set your alarm for maybe a couple of hours after you initially go to sleep. And then when you wake up, just hang out for a few minutes and then go back to sleep. And you're more likely to have a lucid dream, or you will if you regularly engage with this. And that's part of the reason, by the way, that people sometimes, you know, if you've ever had a really intense dream or a nightmare, if you've ever woken up and said, I can't go back to sleep because I'm going to be right back there. And that felt too real for me. That guy was eating people's teeth and I'm just going to wait until dawn or I'm going to play Tetris or something. That's part of the idea here is that when you're waking up for a very short amount of time, you're not all the way awake. And in that dream wake sleep, that gray border between the two, that's where you encounter lucid dreaming stuff. So that might work. You want me to like text you at 3 a.m. and say it's an emergency and then wait 5 minutes and go, never mind.
No, I'm good. I like all of this stuff. No, this is really, really fascinating. I'm going to try some of these methods starting tonight. But I guess the takeaway here, though, and this was a follow-up to, I can't remember exactly when we talked about it, but it was just the idea. I think it was a study about how marijuana affects sleep cycles and like the discussion over what happens when you stop and how it can make your dreams really like bonkers, and how when you're stoned, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have psychedelic dreams. It's more when you stop that you have these out there dreams.
It wasn't long ago. But yeah, you can go back and listen to that episode. I believe it was also listener mail. We got a lot of responses about this, actually.
So many. Like,
a lot of you, when you stop smoking marijuana, you have crazy dreams. So congratulations. It sounds like maybe we all tried the experiment.
Yeah, no. Not yet.
No comment.
One day. No I'm working comment. On it. Fair enough. Guys, throw me under the bus. Oh, man, I was just looking up an article about the study behind this that we referenced, and an ad came up for the Forever Spin Top, made in Canada. They're these like really pricey bespoke little tops. They're like really, really like heavy and fancy steel or different alloys and stuff. They're like a couple hundred dollars a piece, but that's just so funny. Is the internet listening to me? Probably. But in the meantime, while we sort that out, let's take a quick break and then come back with some more letters from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we are jumping to an email titled The Man from 3906 AD. It comes to us via Chance, aka Lost Lizard, and it goes like this. Hey guys, my name is Chance. You can use my name. I was wondering if you've ever covered the man who went to 3906 AD and came back to tell the tale. I've gone back through the catalog and could not find Paul Amadeus Dynach, D-I-E-N-A-C-H, in any past episodes. Maybe my checking skills suck. Anyways, there is an S there. Anyways, here's the story of a man named Paul Amadeus Dynach, a Swiss-Austrian who in the early 1920s spent a whole year in a coma due to encephalitis lethargica. Upon awakening, he moves to Greece to pursue better work and better living conditions, and here is where he catalogs his experience he had throughout his coma, claiming his spirit, get this, was transferred to someone in the year 3906 AD, again, that's from the 1920s, carefully, and then he carefully detailed the events that occurred during his coma in a diary. Topics range from 2 years of work service to the new species of humans that evolve in the future to the populating and eventual catastrophe that occurs on Mars. Dynach records his experiences in his personal diary, translated later by one of his students, George P., who was a professor of law and a rector of Panteion University in Greece. Not sure how to say that. The writing was also in the hands of the Freemasons at one point, oh boy, and regarded as a law to some degree. Now, he gives us the title of a book here, Chronicles from the Future, The Amazing Story of Paul Amadeus Dynach, is the book, and it can be found easily online on Amazon. I can confirm you can find it right now, both there and on Goodreads. I'm still currently reading through it, but I'm excited to unfold everything that I briefly learned about. His detail and somewhat fortune-telling is all too real and accurate, especially the idea of humans populating Mars, as I believe that idea wasn't really a, quote, hot topic in the 1920s. Well, yeah, we'll get it. I saw you, Ben. We'll get into that. That's when he was alive. Nonetheless, maybe you guys can unfold the truths that lie beneath the surface of Dynach's account. Regardless, it's a f***ing dope story. Wow, I really should have read more of your email in a Boston accent. Chance, I apologize. Well, guys, Chance gave us something here that I had never heard about. I think, Ben, I'm surprised this has never come across my desk. I'm wondering if maybe it has and I put it away for some reason, because this book has been out since 1973.
Yeah, I haven't. This is new to me as well. I was able to do just a little bit of reading. I'm probably going to pick up the book just because I think that kind of stuff is fascinating. But I, right now, I'm just astonished. Chance, you did us a tremendous favor, because I think this was something that's new to all three of us. It does remind me of a conversation, kind of a life hack conversation I've seen before, where someone says, if you're going to make something up, and I'm not saying this guy is, if you're going to make something up, be very specific. So don't say, I was transported to the year 3000. Say 3906, just that time.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of details.
And make sure it's far enough in the future.
Right.
That nobody who's living right now can fact check you.
Yeah. Don't, even if it seems like a safe lie, don't come back and say, I was in the year 2024 and the Patriots won or something like that. You know, even if the statistics seem on your side, it's a dangerous game. And this is not to be dismissive of this, because again, I don't think any of the three of us have read this account yet. I'd be really interested to know how it was curated, if it's just published, you know, in 1972, 1973 by his friend Papa Chatzis, with minimal editing, or if it was kind of, you know, like the way the stories about Men in Black got shaped by successive sort of, again, curators of a story, if not original authors. And there are a couple of really great breadcrumbs in here, and Chance, I hope you agree. One of which is the question about a new evolution of human beings. Darwin tells us that up until very recently, that kind of speciation took much, much longer, right? So a lot of our academics and scientists and biologists in the crowd are going to be saying, well, even 2,000 years isn't really enough time for a lot of stuff to happen unless there's like a bottleneck or a near extinction event, stuff like that. But what's interesting here, I would say, is that it is possible, or it will be possible soon, to use genetic engineering to create humans that are, you know, if ethics don't get in the way, they're very different from the people who are listening to this show in 2022. So that is actually possible. And he wouldn't have known about genetic engineering at this point.
Absolutely not. Also, the way in which we believe, or there are currently steps being taken to integrate humans and technology. But, you know, we talked about that on the show as well. Like, mm-hmm. The integration of technology into the human body could also create some other form of human, right? Depending on how we go about that. And especially if you combine that with genetic engineering, I mean, my goodness, we could look and feel very differently in the future. So guys, I haven't had time to actually like fact check a lot of this stuff. I know that a lot of the things that supposedly have occurred, at least according to a Reddit thread, have not occurred that were predicted within this book. There you can read up on, I think it's the subreddit, the OA. Do you guys remember that show?
Yeah.
The OA.
There's a
subreddit on it. And in there is a post from 2 years ago titled, I guess dimensional travel is real, the Paul Dynak story. And within here, it's just got some interesting discussion, some interesting points. And there are several people in there. It's not a huge thread, by the way. There are several people in there just pointing out a list of things that were predicted, I suppose, and the dates associated with them. And it is done in a way, guys, that it feels like, if you wanted to believe it, you could put your, you know, you could put your belief into it. But most of it is so specific and not exactly that it is just kind of like whoever wrote this story, you know, was kind of shooting in the dark. But it is worth, I think it's worth us going over maybe in more detail at some point. I have not read the book, just like you, Ben, but I'm interested. I don't know. What do you think? Is it worth us diving into any further?
I mean, we could definitely not just look at this, but we could look at other similar claims of people who believe that they have somehow gained knowledge about the future and shared it with their version of the present. There's some interesting research we could do about the state of consciousness during a comatose period and what it means to come back. We could also, I don't know, we could look at the nature of belief here. I am going to get this book, by the way. I think it's an excellent recommendation. I'm always looking for stuff to read. But one of the things that I think it's really important for us to emphasize whenever we talk about this stuff is that none of what we are saying means that this guy was actively trying to deceive people. He may genuinely have believed it all to be true, right? So we're not accusing him of shenanigans at this point.
No, I mean, maybe it was an incredible dreamlike state that he experienced, right? In the way we were discussing lucid dreams prior to this, when you're in those states, it is very difficult, if you're not trained, to know if you're actually living and experiencing something or not. That's what makes nightmares so terrifying. I mean, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something we just currently don't understand that big S science doesn't understand about consciousness. There's a lot we don't understand about consciousness. But, you know, whether or not it's transferable, whether or not, you know, it can travel fifth dimensionally, or whatever we want to call time travel. Is that the fourth dimension? I'm sorry, guys. we don't, you know, we're unaware because we've never been able to see it or test it in that way yet. But who knows?
What if it's a possible future or an alternate future?
Mm.
Maybe he saw a future, but just not this timelines.
I think logically, all of us can assume that once humanity gets to Mars, we're going to mess the place up even further. Some stuff's going to go wrong, and then we'll need to go to another planet, right? Eventually. I'm not saying immediately. But we'll probably do similarly what we did to Earth to Mars, I'm assuming.
Or, no, that's watertight, man. That's what's happening.
I mean, I don't know how else we would do it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, though. It's worth exploring the possibilities, because this is not necessarily a unique case, I would imagine. Maybe the specificity of the year is and the claims, but this kind of experience, an epiphany during times of great mental turmoil, it happens. That's, you know, part of the reason prophets are quoted in religious works.
All right, again, we have not read this book. We're going to read you some of the things that are supposedly contained within it, according to a Reddit thread. Look how good at journalism we are. Okay, so here's just a bulleted list. We can go down these. According to the book, in the future, humans have regular contact with some form of aliens. In the future, humans are harvesting, quote, gravitational energy. Don't know what that
is. Harvesting.
Don't know what gravitational energy is.
Haven't we seen that in like some sci-fi? The idea of like harvesting that kind of energy? Maybe in Interstellar? I can't remember. Something. It's ringing a bell.
Gravitational waves maybe, but I don't know how there would be enough energy there for us to... Maybe I'm just science stupid. Perhaps I am. I'm not sure. But according to this thread, again, about this book, in the future, we are traveling as humans through spiritual energy, and we can physically see souls go out and come in. Apparently, in the future, all medication that you would normally get for something that's wrong with you is replaced instead with meditation. Got it? Using that soul stuff.
I like this next one. A bunch of new age crap. That's a fun one. That's kind of a catch-all. I'd prefer a little more specificity there, but I can dig it. I like new age crap.
Mm-hmm. The secret is huge. Again, it's yeah. 3,000. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that this person, you know, this tale is supposedly recorded in these journals in between 1922 and 1924, because this person that is being written about only lived 2 years after he awoke from the coma that he was in. And then it was published in 1973. So if there was any styling done on this book or the translation of it from, because it was translated in different languages, some weirdness could have happened through all of those processes, the translating, then the publishing, given 50 years. Anyway, weird stuff here, guys. I guess write in. Tell us what you think about this. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, write in, especially if you're from the future. Tell us how the book is doing over there. And if you like books, I guess we kind of have one from the future, or it's coming out in the future. Stuff They Want You to Know, the book. We'd love it if you pre-order it. And we'd love it even more if you all take a page from our pals Uhura, our pals Byron, Jasmine, Chance, and Anonymous, and join us on the show. There are many ways to get in touch with us. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on the usual internet places of note: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, where we exist at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. If the internet is not for you, understandable. You can give us a telephone call.
Yes, call 1-833-STDWYTK. Give yourself a nickname after you hear the beep. Then let us know if we can use your name and voice on the air. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. We can't wait to hear from you. If you've got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, instead, why not send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.